the UCR Podcast.
If you're a John Anderson fan, hopefully you have heard the news that John is heading back out on tour with the band Geeks in April, and he and the guys are working to wrap up a new album together that is expected to be out in the second half of the new year. And if you haven't heard about any of this, you're in luck, because we have John today to talk about all these things and more, including another project that he's been working on off and on for the past 25 years. And it seems like we might get to hear that in some form at some point. He's at least made what sounds like more progress on the project since the last time we spoke about it in 2022. Ultimate Classic Rock is your place for anything and everything you might want to read about John Anderson, including his upcoming tour dates. And of course, we have written plenty about his past history of the Yes as well. On a personal music nerd note, I finally had the chance to see John and the Band Geeks last year. Let me tell you something. As a lifelong fan of John's work, these guys do major justice to the music from his career, and they play it in a way that I haven't heard for a very long time, and John himself is in great voice. So if John and the Geeks are heading your way, get out and go see a show. That is a direct order. You can find all the latest, greatest info on what he's got going on at his website, johnanderson.com, including upcoming reissues of Earth, Mother Earth, plus Survival and Other Stories. Both are set to make their first appearance on vinyl March 27th, and they will be also available on CD and digital download as well. So check out all those details at johnanderson.com. That is johnanderson.com. If this is your first time listening to the UCR podcast, welcome. Make sure you subscribe so that you get future episodes as they're released. And if you dig what you're hearing, please rate and review wherever you might be listening. It is greatly appreciated. Now, here's our conversation with the great John Anderson. Enjoy. Well, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. And I'll jump right in. We are so excited you're going to be heading back out on the road with Band Geeks. But before we get to that, I have to talk about a line that was in the announcement for this tour that came out recently. It mentions a forthcoming new album, and I want to have you tell me about that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's what we do, you know. I was very fortunate enough to meet with the Band Geeks. A friend of mine sent me a video of them performing Heart of the Sunrise, which is quite a piece of music from Yes, from way back.
Sure.
So I just thought I'll call them up, and I called up the bass player, Richie, and said, what are you guys up to? He said, oh, we're just doing our stuff. And I said, well, you sound very happy. You look very grateful, and you play the hell out of the music. So what? Let's go on tour. So that started the whole ball rolling. We went on tour. And then at the end of the tour, I said, Richie, we've got to make an album. So we made an album. And it's very simple. You know, you just do what you want to do. And we finished that album. We loved that album so much. And performing it was quite a treat for us as well as the fans, you know. And after we'd finished this last tour, I just looked at Richie. I said, have we got another album in the works? And he said, let's see what happens. So we've been making steps towards a new album over the past 4 months now.
That's fantastic, man. You know, I mean, over the past decade, you talk about the album that you've done with them already, True. You and I spoke in past years about how you wanted to go back to the top of the mountain, as you put it, make one last great Yes album. And even though it says John Anderson on the cover, it really feels like you guys accomplished that with the True album, with the Band Geeks. And John, what was interesting to me was how that album brought together the spirit of what you have with the Band Geeks, but whatever it is that fans like about your music, there's stuff there for people who liked 90125 and Big Generator. There's stuff for the folks who love classic Yes. Sometimes both of those things are all there in one song, which was really, really cool to hear. What was it like for you hearing what you all came up with on True as a completed work?
Gosh, I was in heaven, musical heaven. And the more I listened to it, especially Once Upon a Dream, which was very, very interestingly put together, as Yes would do it 20, 30 years ago. You start off with an idea, you bring in another idea, then another idea, and you start saying, wait a minute, we've got too many ideas here. But eventually, if you just relax and keep working on something, all of a sudden it blossoms like a flower. You know, you just... sit back and play it over and over at the end when you're mixing it, and you're thinking, this is such a great song, you know. And on tour, the reaction from the audience was the same. It was like a new, it was a new expression of what I do and I've been doing for years now, with the help of a fine group of musicians who have, you know, they're very, very dedicated to making great music.
Yeah, I saw the show you guys played here in Cleveland, and seeing you play that epic Once Upon a Dream, there were so many other epics in the set list, but it was just cool to me how seamlessly all this music that you made with the Band Geeks fit in with the stuff, whatever era you were playing, you know, whatever era of Yes or whatever you were playing, like the music just fits seamlessly with the music from that True album. And that had to just be so cool for you.
Yeah, it gives you such more energy to travel around and perform when you know that you're doing new music that's just been born in a way. And here we are slogging away, the very English way of working, slogging away at a new album, which again is equally as exciting as True.
Yeah, and so just the idea that you already made this True record with the Band Geeks, you go out, as you say, and you play the songs. Where did that leave your head as far as what's kind of driving the direction you're taking with this next record?
I think it's a natural event to work with musicians. You know, we get together every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, and there we are working on songs that we tried maybe last year, the year before, or song ideas that I had 10 years ago. And we're still building another skyscraper of a piece of music, you know.
I love the full circle aspect of this because, as you probably know, your debut solo album came out in 1976, which is going to be 50 years next year. And I know you love it when things connect in that way to where you are hypothetically going to have another new record to release here in 2026, you know, 50 years after you took that first initial step as a solo artist back then.
Oh boy, it's unbelievable in a way. You look back at where I've been, where I wanted to go. You know, when I did Elias, it was as though simply because I think Steve said he was going to do a solo album on tour, and Chris said, "Oh well, I'll do one," and I thought, oh, "Okay, I'll do one." And I locked myself in the garage with full of instruments and started learning how to play them, and that's what Elias of Sunhilo was. It was an incredible learning experience.
It seems like it would have been daunting working on that first record back in 1975, but also exciting. Like, how did the concept come together for that first record back then? Because it's got such a cool storyline.
I think generally I write stories every 3 months. I'll come up with another story about this and that and the other. And I'm actually working on a large scale full project simply because my son Damien said to me one day, "Why don't you do a Son of Elias?" And I thought, okay then.
Yeah.
So I started scribbling a story and writing a story, and I just spent the last 4 years creating tons of music for it. And whether it'll come out, I don't know. But you just do it because it's inspiring to create music. And in those days, way back, I'd actually just met Vangelis probably three months earlier. I went to see him in Paris and became friends with Vangelis, hoping he'd join Yes, which never going to happen. But he was the first guy that I played Elias to. And he had in his studio a surround sound, what you might call it, just a couch. You sit inside, there were speakers all around inside this couch. And I remember seeing him when I was playing the album Elias to him, his eyes sort of lit up, and he looked like he was really having a good time enjoying it. And I was kind of freaking out, hoping that he does. I really hope he likes the album. And then he just stood up and he gave me a hug. He said, "Welcome, John, welcome."
Oh, that's such a great compliment.
Yes, it was amazing. And here we are 50 years later, and in a way, it's still the same process. You're playing with musical ideas in the hope that they will flourish into a really good big scale project. On the new album, there's one 20-minute long piece again, because that's what I do.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love hearing that.
And there are some funny things here, there, and everywhere, plus some magical musical ideas from the band, because they're happily co-creating the album with me, you know?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It's got to be interesting for you working with those guys, that they know what you do so well. It makes the information exchange that much easier in a way, but also inspiring, because they know that you're the type that you don't want to just do what you've done, but they can also speak in your musical language.
True. Very true. Hence the name of the album. The idea, honestly, they are really remarkable people, for one thing. They're very dedicated to music. They're very committed to music, and they're happy about it. And I'm the same. I'm thankful to make music. So I have my Zoom session tomorrow now instead of today. So I know that we're going to work on another idea that we've been throwing up and down. And Richie is a fantastic producer, a great bass player, and boy, does he play the guitar. It's unbelievable what he can come up with.
Yeah, yeah. I want to touch on a couple other creative things. First of all, before we move off of Elias, you ended up playing every instrument on that first record. And I remember being fascinated as a kid when I heard McCartney had done that with his first solo album. There's an art to doing that, but it also seems quite freeing to work in that way. But I wondered for you, like, how did that kind of move you forward creatively, having the experience of doing that?
Well, I went mad. You know, I actually lost my train of thought.
Sure.
On part of the story was four tribes coming from, one might say, the Pleiades system to another Earth mother, and they had to get from one place to another. So I created this ship that would travel through their powerful energies, and the whole idea of the ship was this something that was supernatural, and how to get there. Well, they had to sing, and they weren't rowing. That's like, but they had to sing ideas of energy, forcing the Morglay to fly into the solar system. That was the whole concept, and they would sing a chant, like a Gregorian chant sort of thing, and so I worked out that there would be four specific categories of music. There'd be a rhythmical series of guitars that I put together, and then there was a series of percussion that I would put together, and then there was some keyboard parts that I put together, and then the final thing was the vocal parts. So I had myself singing over and over again these chants, and then what happened was that to put together what you might say 24 tracks synced together, so you had 8 tracks of percussion, 8 tracks of sort of Middle Eastern guitar strums, and I'm not getting lost here, Matt.
Hold there's on. A lot, though.
Yeah, there's a lot, and there's only one way to have them in sync is to have a mix of everything.
Yeah.
And put it on 4 Revoxes. They were like 4 quarter-inch tape Revoxes. So you had them set up at a certain point in time. You start 1, and then you start 2, 3, and 4. It takes the time it takes to do that. It's probably 15 minutes in the hope that they're all in sync with each
wow.
other. Because in those days, there was no sync, you know, like logic. Nothing to sync them in together. It just had to be freeloaded. We'll start now, and then after about 20 seconds, start the next one. After 20 more seconds, the next one, and so on. And for 4 days, I couldn't get them to sing together, play together, or be in time together. And it drove me crazy. And then my wonderful engineer said, I gotta go, I can't take this anymore. And I remember it was midnight, and I was saying, okay, I'm gonna do it just one more time for them all to sync in time with each other. And I pressed the buttons after 1 minute, and then another after another minute, and so on. And I went and fell asleep. I think I'd been drinking or something. So I remember waking up, and the sun was shining through the garage window like crazy. It was like the whole place was lit up. And I woke up and thought, oh, what happened? What was I doing? Wait a minute, what was I doing? And I went over to the main tape machine, and I pressed it. And the first thing started the Moroccan sitar sounds and stuff like that. And then the percussion came in, and I thought, wait a minute, it's in time with each other. What's going on? And then these keyboard sounds came, and everything was in sync. And then the last thing is that the choir came in. Believe me, I was crying and looking out the window, looking at the divine energy of nature, and thanking the gods for setting me free from this problem I had. And it played perfectly. It was like pure magic for me at that moment in time in my life.
That's so cool. You know, and the other creative part I wanted to just talk to you about was that, you know, you talk about like writing with that kind of concept and storyline. You, a songwriter, as you know, writes about what they know, and you certainly have done that. But when we're talking about something like this that has a concept or a story, that's very visual storytelling. And you did that with Yes, you did that on a record like this. And like, you've always been held up as being very good at the visual storytelling. It seems like learning how to do that visual storytelling probably moved you forward in a lot of different ways. And it's a lot of fun to do as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a natural event in my life now. Like I said, I started doing Zamran, Son of Elias, about 5-6 years ago, and I'm still going strong on it, and it's still driving me crazy.
Last two things here, John. One, you know, you guys played so many of the great epics on these tours that you've done with the Band Geeks. What's still on your musical bucket list that you want to try with these guys that you have not played yet?
It's funny because last week we were doing the Zoom Tuesday, and I'd written down not to forget what songs we're going to do on the next tour. And all I could write was Awaken, Gates of Delirium, Yours to Notice Grace, Starship Trooper, and so on. I had about 20 songs in the last all night.
It's about
that,
a 4-day show, yeah.
Yeah. So just love that freedom of thought that, you know, we're going to be on tour soon in April, and we're going to be doing songs from this new album plus songs we did from the True album and songs we did with Yes years and years and years ago in a big dream.
Here's the last thing from my side. Of course, Rhino recently announced the Tales from Topographic Oceans box set. I just wondered, it's like 12 discs. What's a favorite memory you have from the time period you all were working on that record?
Oh, the time that I started bringing in some straw and I wanted to make the studio like we were in a little, not a village, but in a different world. And I brought plants in and trees and things like that, and decorated the studio with all sorts of things. You know, I even had cut out cows.
Oh, wow.
I was eating in the meadow. And everybody said, get them all out of here. I said, okay, I just wanted to be in, because I'd found this place near where I lived, which I wanted to dig a hole and put in a generator and do them, make the album, make the music in a big tent. But that was my idea, and nobody else had that idea. So never got there.
One final thing that I should just ask, just to tie up a loose end, what has kept you focused on the Zamran Son of Elias thing for the past 5 years or so, because obviously it means a lot to you.
Well, it's something that it started off me just creating musical ideas, and then I found some interesting work with, I think if you listen to music from Bali, you get into a whole different world of sound and vocalization and things like that. So yeah. There was that. It's very mysterious sort of world, Bali. I went to it to live there for a week on my 40th birthday, and had the most extraordinary event where I was on an island. What's it called? Leoman. And I went there, and I went to bed. I kept seeing these fireflies everywhere, and I thought it was kind of interesting how many fireflies you see in one evening. And then I went to bed, fall asleep, and I woke up, and there's a firefly in my room, and I saw it in the corner. I thought light keeps going on and off, you know. And then all of a sudden, it came right over my head, and it opened its wings, and it was so big, and it was just, I think I was smoking marijuana.
Could have been.
When I think about it, it was an incredible, incredible event. And I could hear it saying to me, welcome, you are a human, and we like to speak with humans now and again. We used to speak with Walt Disney a lot.
Wow.
I know. And I woke up the following morning and thought, what a dream that was. Kind of cool.
Oh, that's very cool. John, we are looking so forward to this tour with the Band Geeks. I had the chance to see you guys here at the Cleveland Agora, and just a magical, magical night. And I'm just so happy that you're paired up with these guys. You guys have some good musical mojo and karma working together, and it's just so cool as a fan to see that.
Excellent, Matt. I wish you well, and can't wait to do it.
All right, man.
To get up and do a show.
Bye. Thanks, now. John. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
We've reached the end of another episode of the UCR Podcast. It is Matt Wardlaw. We appreciate you listening. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please rate and review wherever you are listening, and hit subscribe so that you'll receive future episodes of the podcast from Ultimate Classic Rock.